As I was looking over this passage this last week, I don't know if we're ready for it. How many of you have been to Passion of the Christ when it came out? Do you remember like going to the theater, Passion of the Christ? Okay, that's good. Some of you are a lot older than me, so I figured you were probably there. Anyway, I'm joking. But so like the first time I went to see that movie in the movie theater, people were like going and buying popcorn. They were like had their like soft drink. They walk in. People weren't ready for what was about to happen, right? Do you remember that? Like people were walking in cheerfully. When they're leaving, it was a totally different feel. Do you remember? Like the popcorn hadn't been eaten, right? There were teardrops in the popcorn bucket, right? I didn't even walk out of the theater till 40 minutes later. Like that's how intense, because I was crying. Like it was almost like I don't know about you, but it was almost like for the first time I had like really seen like what Christ had gone through and what he had done. Even though I'd read it, you know what I mean? There was just something about it that day. And I feel like in this passage this morning, what I want us to do is to just sit in it for a minute, hear it spoken over us. Like God's word is powerful and his words are a lot better than mine. Amen. And, I just feel like if we sit in this for a minute and really think about what happened to our Savior and our King, that it'll affect us deep within our souls, right? Sometimes we come to church and we preach messages and they're fun, you know what I mean? Like we get to make fun of people, we get to make fun of ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Like there are happy messages and in this message is a happy message, but it's also one though that like the intensity of it, you know, like it's going to be hard to make jokes this morning. And so I just want us to sit in this passage this morning and just receive from the Lord what it is that he wants to say. Can we do that? And I just want you to pick out as I read this verse, I just want you to pick out maybe some things that stick out to you from this verse. And maybe even question in your own heart, like, why is it that stood out? Right? Because maybe God's trying to say something to you. Does that make sense? All right. Let's read it. Matthew 27. Sorry, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium. That word just means it's the governor's residence. It's like where he lives, right? And gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. So the Roman cohort, that was like, don't think of like a living room with like three or four people. Think of like 450 people. Okay, that's what we need to be thinking. Like it could have been less, could have been more, but it was a lot of people. So, and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. Let's go back one. So then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. Let's read it again. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him, 450 people. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. I don't know what's got to happen for God to become man. I don't know about you, but that's beyond my pay grade, right? But the reality that God would so humiliate himself for you and for me to become man, like God becomes man. There's nothing more humbling than that. Like, do you know what you are? Like, you were created in God's image. You were created to bear the image of God. So the creation would look at you and realize that you represent management. Amen? Right? And then God, because of sin, because sin is a way of distorting and dehumanizing us. So when sin stepped in the gap, when we sinned and sin got in the way of our relationship with God, it marred our image. It marred what we were created to be, what we were always made to be in complete and good relationship with God. And Jesus steps into the world, takes on your form, minus the sinful nature, amen, but takes on your form, born to die for you. Remember, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So when John is baptizing people, he sees Jesus walking. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Like, he sees Jesus and goes, that's the one who's going to die in the place of all mankind. But we kind of tend to forget that Christmas is ultimately about the reality that Jesus took our place. Listen, you were born into the world. You were born of a woman. Everyone in this room. And Jesus, in order to redeem you, had to be born of a woman. He was nursed by Mary. Like, I don't think we fully grasp this. And look, sin always has a way of distorting our and dehumanizing us, but it also distorts our view of justice. Because remember Barabbas? Barabbas is also at this, you know, moment, right? And it's Barabbas and Jesus. You guys remember this, right? Jesus is on one side, Barabbas is on the other, right? And he looks at the people and says to the Jews, and he says, "Who do you want, Barabbas or Jesus?" Right? This murderer and stirrer of the people, like that's who Barabbas was, right? Or Jesus, who even Pilate said has done nothing wrong to deserve what he's getting, right? And what do the people say? Give us Barabbas. Sin has a way of distorting our justice, right? Has a way of distorting our judgment. Sin had so distorted you that Christ was distorted for you. Perfect Lamb of God, God incarnate. The beauty of the universe was marred for you and for me. Isn't that amazing? Do you ever have those moments where, like, you wish that you could give people how you're feeling about something, right? Like, I'm having one of those moments. Like, I'm like, I wish I could just, like, give you how intense this really is. You know, because I think we come into church on a Sunday morning in America. We come in here and we sit in our comfortable chairs. When we have brothers and sisters in the world who are being persecuted and mistreated for their faith, and we don't even have we can't even conceive of that in some ways. But you and I come in here and we talk about Jesus and we, like, have our lattes and we have, do you know what I mean? And there's something I feel like that's missing. Look, this is just as much for me as it is for you. So look, I like coming to church with my latte. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like coming to church sitting in a comfortable chair. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But we have brothers and sisters around the world who are gathered this morning or later on today in their mourning. Simply because they love Jesus more than they love their own life. And I wonder how much of us need that. Sin always does to Jesus what these men did to him. Like sin always, what I mean by that is sinful people always persecute and mistreat that which is good, upright, and true. It's what we do. And so if you're linked with him, what would they do to you? The King of Kings, crowned with suffering for his people. So let's look at this. The King of Kings, crowned with suffering for his people. Have you ever been to a coronation? No, because we're American, right? We've been to inaugurations, right? Last night I kept calling it an inauguration. I was like, we've never been to an inauguration. We're Americans. And people were like, what? Anyways, but we've never been to a coronation, right? A coronation is where they do what? Crown a king, right? They crown somebody, right? And at a coronation, they have like a parade. They have like this big, it's a big thing to do, right? When our king was crowned on the earth, when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was crowned on the earth, they crowned him with a crown of thorns. This was Jesus' coronation day. And they parade him out of the city to be crucified. And at the resurrection, his true kingship, is that a word? His true, whatever. His true kingness, who he was elevated and glorified and magnified in the resurrection. And all of us cheered because the victory had been won for you and for me. Come on. The King of Kings crowned with suffering for his people. Listen, you and I couldn't wear that crown. You know, the only one who could wear that crown was Jesus. He's the only one able and worthy. He's the only one able and worthy to wear that crown. And just to make sure it was really on, they beat him in the head with a reed. Listen, Jesus said he could call 10,000 angels down to take his place. And he doesn't do it. Look, I would do it. You know what I'm saying? I would do it. I would be like, bump this, man. Like, y'all are going down. You know what I mean? Like he is God incarnate. He could have any minute been like, I'm done with all y'all. I'm done with all y'all. The spit was enough. I was good with the crown of thorns, but once you started spitting on me, I was done. Right? Look, I've never been spat on before. I don't even know how dehumanizing that feels. But my Lord was spit on. It's crazy. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, for Christ also died for sins. So for his people, crowned for his people, right? For Christ also died for sins once for all people, everywhere, every nation, tribe, tongue. The just for the unjust. Which one are you? The unjust, very good, all right, yeah. So that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed for his people. He was also crowned with suffering for our good, for our good. Galatians 1:4 says this, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. It was the Father's will that he crushed the Son. Galatians 5:1 says this, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. So it's for your freedom that Christ has set you free. Christ has empowered you to live the life that you could not live apart from him. Amen? So when sin was master over you, Jesus stepped in and said, okay, now I'm going to be master over you. Romans 6 says, you're a slave to whoever you obey, whether to sin which leads to death or righteousness which leads to life. But now you actually can choose to live for God. I remember the last cigarette I ever smoked. Look, I don't know if you smoke cigarettes in here. Like, I'm not judging this between you and God. But I knew that God was convicting me not to do it anymore. And maybe he's convicting you in this room not to do it anymore. But I remember the last cigarette I ever smoked. I was still in my mom's back patio. I was smoking the cigarette, and God was just like, Aaron, I don't want you to do this anymore. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't want, but you know, cigarettes are addictive. Like, they're nicotine and they're, you know, I mean, like, they're, and they're killing you. Anyway, so I'm smoking this cigarette and God's like, and I'm like, God, I don't want to do this anymore. And I remember the Lord looking, I just remember the Lord saying to me, like, he just dropped it in my mailbox. You ever have the Lord just drop something right in your mailbox? You know what I mean? You're just like, dang, Lord, that was you, you know? And he just said, if you love me, you'll stop. If you love me, you'll stop. And I said, you're right, Lord. I put it on the ground, stomped it out. It was the last one I ever touched, was that day. Because isn't sin ultimately choosing to love something more than God? Like, you're going, God, you're good, but somehow I think this might be better. Isn't the temptation of Satan to go, and then when we run into it, we come back to God and we go, God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I didn't see it. The amazing thing is we have a God who's willing to forgive us and restore us back to fellowship and just tell us to keep moving on, you know? I don't know if you know Jesus. I don't know where you stand with him. I don't know if you came in here this morning and you were disappointed that it wasn't Joe. I don't know, you know, or Cord. I should have had a disclaimer. You could have walked out in the beginning, but now you're here. Anyway, you're stuck. But out of Guyon's Point, if you want to talk to somebody about who Jesus is, man, we'd love to talk to you about that. And you can go out to room 3 and they will share Jesus with you and lead you to him because he loves you. Listen, don't leave this church not knowing Jesus. He didn't go through all that just so you wouldn't turn to him. You're here for a reason this morning. You could have been anywhere else. So if that's you, do not leave here unchanged. Maybe you know who Christ is and you've never been baptized. We're doing baptisms on Christmas Eve. We're gonna have a big thing of baptisms. Look, baptism completes faith. It is you going all in with Jesus. And so if you need to do that, there's tables out there that you can do, that you can sign up to get baptized. Please do that. But the last thing I want us to see this morning is that it's the King of Kings crowned with suffering for our example. Listen, we don't like to suffer. No one in this room likes suffering, right? Myself included. Like, and if you're partly because you're American, you don't like suffering. That's like a real American. We like our comforts, right? But even more so if you're from Florida, right? Like we got the beach. We got like all, you know what I'm saying? But you want to see people not love suffering? How many of you own a generator in this room? Yeah, you know why? Because you hate suffering. Because when hurricanes come and the power goes off, yeah. You plug your generator in, you know what I mean? Because you're like, I gotta have my AC. It's 80 degrees outside, you know what I mean? Like, you know how else I know we hate suffering? Is we have microwaves now that have a popcorn button. Right? Like, we can't be bothered with pushing in 3 minutes and 25 seconds. No, we just wanna put the bag in and hit popcorn, right? Like, remember when you were younger and you had the Jiffy Pop? You remember that? that was too much for us. You know, there was too much struggle with the Jiffy Pop. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't want to be bothered with the Jiffy Pop. So someone came out with Orville Redenbacher, whatever his name is, came out with, like, the microwavable popcorn bag. The other day, my wife asked me to make hot chocolate. You know, 'tis the season to be jolly and have hot chocolate. So my wife asked me to, can you make me some hot chocolate? I'm like, being a good husband, I'm like, sure, babe, anything you want, hot chocolate, yeah. We don't have any of the hot chocolate bags, though, you know? I was like, but I got cocoa, and I got sugar, and I got milk. Now listen, all that's all you need to make hot chocolate. My wife was like, no, I don't want to bother with it. That's how, okay, number one, lazy we are, but number two, how much we don't want to go through the angst of making hot chocolate. Like, we just want to be able to microwave our milk, open a pouch, put it in and stir it. That's enough for us, right? Like, we don't like suffering. But if you're a follower of Jesus, suffering is part of, it's a part of it. Because there's suffering involved when you go against the grain, when you live different than the world. And there's a part of suffering that happens even like even in your own, when you're struggling with your own sin, there's a suffering involved, right? There's been moments in my own life where temptation is so heavy on me, where a desire to do something I shouldn't do is so heavy on me, and I'm literally going to God, like, on my knees, begging God to take it. Because I don't want to do that which would displease my Lord. There's suffering involved. Listen, some of you are suffering because you're dumb, right? Because you're doing dumb things. Stop being stupid, right? Like, some of you are suffering in this room because of your own stupidity. Don't blame God for that, right? You know how many people I've talked to that are like, my life is horrible. Like, I don't think God exists because my life is so bad. I'm like, that's because you're at the helm. You know, like, of course your life is not great because you're the one driving the boat. And they blame God for their mistakes. That's double dumb. That's double. Is that a word? Or is that like a double negative thing where it's like, then it becomes a positive and it's, I'm sorry. That's probably my fault. But like, if you suffer because you're being stupid, just own it and be like, that's because I'm being dumb, right? The beautiful thing is that God fixes our dumb mistakes, man. He doesn't leave us there and he doesn't smack us around going, yeah, stop being stupid. He just goes, I know you're stupid. You need me, right? Yeah. Clapping for being stupid. Yeah. No. Let me prove it to you. Suffering for our example. Crown was suffering for our example. 1 Peter 2:21 says this. For you have been called for this purpose. For you have been called for this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Let's look at this next verse, 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. When you suffer, Christ is suffering right along with you. Christ is with you in the suffering. Your suffering is for your good and for the good of other people. Listen, Christ's suffering was for our good. It was for our good. Your suffering is also, can be also used for the good of other people if you embrace it and allow it to do that which God is wanting it to do in your life. But you gotta let it do it. And you have to embrace it. And suffering is easy, it's hard. Suffering is certain, but suffering also produces in us, transforms us into the character of Christ. You want to hear something crazy? Paul says this crazy thing in Corinthians, in 1 or 2 Corinthians. He says, I fill up in my body what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body. So is Christ lacking something in his affliction? No. Paul wouldn't say that. What he's saying is that the suffering he's enduring as for Christ, Christ in him, on behalf of the body, his church. Look, you and Jesus are so freakishly linked that when you suffer, he's suffering along with you. Let me prove it to you. Remember when Saul was, Saul, who became Paul, right? Remember when he was persecuting the church, beating the church, putting them in prison? He's doing all these things. He meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. Everything changes. But what does Jesus say to Saul? He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He doesn't say, why are you persecuting my people? He doesn't say, why are you persecuting my church, the church? He says, why are you persecuting me? Because for you as a Christian to be persecuted is for Jesus to be persecuted. Some of you are enduring suffering for the sake of his body, the church. So lean in. Because other people will be helped and changed through your suffering and through my suffering. You ever have those moments where God brings somebody into your life that's going through something and you've been there? You know what I mean? And you're able to speak into that situation in a way that other people can't because you've actually been there. Your suffering is not purposeless. It's got a purpose. Embrace it. Don't embrace the stupid suffering. That's on you. Get as far away from that as you possibly can. Amen. I'll leave you with this verse. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And some of that perfecting is happening through suffering. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. And Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that as we leave this room this morning, Lord God, that we would be changed. Lord, you are crowned for us, your people. You are crowned with suffering for our good, and you are crowned with suffering for our example. And Lord, I pray that as we leave here, Lord God, that the things that are going on in our life that may be causing some conflict in our life or some suffering in our life, that we would not try to get away from as fast as we could, but that we might ask, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in the midst of it? And Lord, we thank you that you suffered for us so that we could go free. Lord, help us to love you and to walk with you the way we ought to. For we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen.